This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you, and I'm super pleased, honored to have in the studio with me Richard A. Clark. He is the CEO of Good Harbor Security Risk Management. He served three consecutive presidents in the capacities of Special Assistant to the President, Global Affairs, Special Assistant to the President, Cyberspace, and National Coordinator of Security and Counterterrorism. And he's the author of other books prior to this as well, but his most recent, Warnings, Finding Cassandras to Stop Catastrophes. It's from Warnings. The website is warningsbook.net, if you'd like to check it out. And you probably remember Richard Clark. He's been a guest on this program probably at least a half a dozen, maybe more times over the years, probably closer to a dozen. Mm-hmm. Going back to your concerns right before 9/11, that 9/11 was going to happen, and your attempts to warn the Bush administration that were ignored. And this book, first of all, Richard Clark, welcome to the program.
Tom, it's great to be with you in person, finally.
Yeah, thank you so much for joining us. So, if we could just kind of set the frame, because this book is about, let's pay attention to people, essentially like Richard Clark. Let's pay attention to the people who were saying, hey, look out, something's going to happen. And so you want to start with your story? Mm-hmm. How you became a Cassandra?
Well, this book is not about me. You know, I wrote Against All Enemies, about my experience. That was my first book. This is number 8. But I did have a period in the Bush administration when I was warning them, and I thought the evidence was compelling, and they weren't paying attention. And I didn't get that. I couldn't understand why not. And so after some years went by and I had the opportunity, I asked a few people, have you ever noticed this is a phenomenon? After every big disaster, there's an investigation. I had the 9/11 commission then interrogate me. And I think their report exonerated me and made it pretty clear that what I was saying was right. But there's always an investigation, and the investigation usually shows, hey, there was that person who was warning in advance, who was an expert, who had data, and they were ignored. So I've asked my friends, did you ever notice that? And they say, yeah, well, it happened in Katrina, it happened in Fukushima, it happened in Bernie Madoff. And I thought, wait a minute, is there a thing here? Is this a phenomenon? And does it span different fields? It's not just intelligence and security issues. It happens in finance. It happens in science. It happens in engineering. It happened with the Challenger space shuttle.
That's right. There was a guy warning about the O-rings, right?
Right up to the morning, to that morning and for weeks prior. So why is it when experts have evidence and they present it that a disaster is about to happen, why is it they're ignored? That's what the book is about. And the question in the book is, if we can find these experts after the fact, can we find them before the fact?
Well, And I want to explore that question with you, but it's also not a new question. I mean, we talk about Cassandra. Cassandra, as I recall, was an ancient Greek story. Isn't that about a 3,000-year-old story?
It's a 3,000-year-old story about a woman who was cursed by the gods in Troy. And the curse was she could see the future, which doesn't sound like a curse. Like, who wouldn't want to see the future? But the curse part of it was no one would believe her when she warned them about what was going to happen in the future. So she went crazy. Because no one would pay any attention to her. I thought, yeah, I get that. You know, you could easily go crazy.
Yes.
Throughout history there have been Cassandras. Winston Churchill, when we talk in the book, Winston Churchill was, by his contemporaries, called a Cassandra before World War II.
Well, he was not unique in that or alone in that.
No.
And the people calling the Cassandras, I mean, here in the United States, you had Charles Lindbergh, you know, running around going, oh, there's nothing to worry about, everything's fine. In fact, there's an amazing book. My dad gave it to me for my birthday years ago by Rex Stout, who at the time was the most widely published author in the United States. He did the Nero Wolfe series. Mm-hmm. He had 73 million books in print.
Oh.
This was published in just after World War II. He was the head of the propaganda board for Roosevelt to keep America pumped up, right, mm-hmm. For the war effort. And it's called The Illustrious Dunderheads, and it's a collection of speeches on the floor of the House and Senate, all of them saying, There's nothing to worry about. We can get along with Mr. Hitler. Yeah. This is crazy. Why are you guys all getting all upset?
In the face of overwhelming evidence.
Yes.
Yeah. And so we ask in the book, why do people reject evidence? Well, one reason is the event they're talking about is outlandish. It's something that's huge and would have an enormous magnitude effect, and no one wants to deal with that. They think that perhaps by denying its truth, it won't happen. Mm. This is all subliminal. It's all subconscious. The other thing is the event has never happened before. If it's never happened before, no matter how evident it is it's about to happen, again, subconsciously, people think, I don't have to worry about this because that's never happened.
Right.
Well, history, as you can see, history is a list of things that never happened before. They're happening for the first time. Every day they're having things happen for the first time. And yet people reject predictions based on this. What we're really talking about here are outlier experts. Mm-hmm. People who see things before the other experts. Jim Hansen on climate change is in the book in two regards. One, he saw climate change in the 1980s. And was suppressed by the two Bush administrations. But now Hansen is again an outlier because he's predicting sea level rise will be faster and higher than the accepted wisdom.
And the IPCC has been proven wrong by being too conservative, too careful,
over
too cautious.
Over and over again.
With every single report, I mean, without exception.
Right, and so last week we had this EPA director under Trump, quoting James Hansen as saying, well, I don't like the Paris Agreement.
He was misquoting him.
Of course he was. They misquote people all the time. He was misquoting him because what Hansen said was, I don't like the Paris Agreement because it's not tough enough.
Right.
It will not stop the sea level rise. And if Hansen's models, which are complex mathematical models about sea level rise, are true, it will not be linear. There's a feedback loop on the glaciation melting and causing pools of water under the glaciers. We're talking about 6 meter rise by the end of the century. I mean, there are children alive today who will see most of Florida underwater if Jim Hansen's right.
Right, and much of Washington, D.C., and much of New York, and much of L.A., and much of San Francisco, and it just goes on and on and on. It's absolutely right.
But you can see why people don't want to believe him, right? It doesn't fit with their ideology. Because if you believed him, you would have to do things like big government response.
Yeah.
And you would have to do things that are far more ambitious than Paris. People don't want to do that in this town, and all the Republicans don't want to do anything at all. And therefore, they just don't want to believe it.
Well, we're...
Maybe if they don't believe it, it won't happen.
Well, you said this is kind of wired into the psychology of the human race that we don't want to believe these things, and
right.
And then there's also the if it's only a small possibility that it'll happen, and it's going to be an enormous hassle to prevent it from happening,
right.
Then why should we worry about this? These are called high impact, low probability events.
Exactly, and the response, the rational response to a high impact, low probability event, is to hedge your bets.
Right.
Number one. And number two, keep it under really tight surveillance so that when the evidence starts piling up that it might be right, you increase your hedge against it. Well, the evidence, since I wrote the book a year ago, it just came out last week, but publishing industry is slow, as you know.
Yeah.
The evidence has piled up enormously in the last year that Hansen's right.
Yeah.
And more and
if
more.
If anything, he's conservative too.
More and more experts are moving over to his prediction. The IPCC, the UN body, is still back at 1 meter by 2100.
Yeah, well, they're stuck with a consensus model as part of their problem.
Well, they also, when I talk to people who disagree with Hansen and say, well, what's wrong with his data? They say, well, he hasn't used the scientific method. And I said, well, what do you mean by that? Well, you know, we need replicable studies. I said, what do you want him to do, melt Greenland a few times before you believe it?
Right. Yeah, it's...
We call that, in the book, we call that scientific reticence. When the scientists insist on some sort of rigor, that means that you can't know if it's right or not until it's too late.
Right. We're talking with Richard A. Clark. He is the author of a brand new book called Warnings, Finding Cassandras to Stop Catastrophes, written with R.P. Eddy. And the website for the book is warningsbook.net. And
there's a lot of the book available for free at that website. You can read excerpts on most of the book.
That's great. How from the point, viewpoint of a Cassandra yourself, you know, you were in the Bush administration and you were saying there's something going to happen here. And I'm guessing that probably a third of our audience anyway was not paying attention or was too young or whatever. I mean, that was quite some time ago, 15, 16 years ago. In the minute or so before we hit a break here, it's can you kind of recap what happened?
Well, so the outgoing Clinton administration till the incoming Bush administration, your number one issue to worry about, your number one threat to national security is bin Laden and al-Qaeda. They didn't believe that. They had been out of office for 8 years. They hadn't been focusing on it. They came in with their own agenda, which was Iraq and China and Russia, big state things. And we said, no, transnational issues are about non-state actors. This is going to happen. And they didn't want to hear about it. And they delayed. I asked for urgent meetings right after the inauguration. They delayed those meetings until September. In fact, a week before 9/11.
In fact, Dick Cheney was given two jobs. One was to be the
energy czar.
Energy czar, and yeah, which she got to right away, yeah. Like carving up Iraq in these maps of, and then his second job was to be in charge of, you know, looking out for 9/11. Essentially, was it not?
He was asked.
And that was the meeting that happened in September.
He was asked to worry about Homeland Security.
Homeland Security,
which he didn't really do.
Yeah, it's a real tragedy. So when you went to the folks in the Bush administration and said, you know, the Clintons were right, these guys are coming after us, what, they just look at you blank? Did they threaten you?
They kind of looked at me with a look like, we thought we knew you, we thought we liked you, but you're talking like a crazy guy. And, you know, we'll get to you. Get in the queue. We'll get to you.
You had colleagues who were saying the same thing, though.
I had the CIA director who was saying the same thing. And, you know, the problem was, in part, the CIA director, George Tenet, and I were holdovers from the Clinton administration. And if Clinton said white, they said black.
Oh, it just got politicized.
It did.
That is so tragic. So tragic. Richard Clark is with us. He is the author of a new book, Warnings, Finding Cassandras to Stop Catastrophe. We'll be back with a little more of our conversation with Richard Clark.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
We'll be back with Richard Clark in just a moment. And welcome back. We're still here with Richard Clark, and you're looking over the illustrious Dunderheads. It's an amazing book. I mean,
yeah,
you can buy them online for, I don't know, 60, 80 bucks, something like that. And it's such a lesson from history.
In part, it's a lesson that a foreign state tried to manipulate our domestic politics.
How so?
Well, so I was just reading a page about how the Nazis were trying to engage in the United States to cause dissension between whites and blacks, between the North and the South.
Oh, and the Boons were all over the place,
yeah.
The German Boons.
Right. So maybe Russia interfering in our domestic politics is not a first.
Oh, I would be amazed if it was. I would tell you, not to echo President Putin, but we've been engaging, you know, we've been messing in other people's politics forever, and we're not the only power that does that.
Right, but that doesn't mean they should do it to us.
No, I agree. I totally agree. And you know, this is why we need an independent commission to find out what the hell's going on.
I agree.
And go forward with that. So, of the stories in Warnings, Finding Cassandras to Stop Catastrophes, and the spook, the invasion of Kuwait. Was that, tell us about this story.
So,
I was ranting at the end of the last hour about how that was the beginning of everything, in my opinion.
July 1990, everybody's out of town in the first Bush administration. Everybody's on vacation. Cheney and Baker, we're off in Mongolia shooting endangered species. Everybody was on vacation. The president was in Maine. And intelligence begins to pour in that it looks like Iraq is going to invade Kuwait. But everybody looking at that intelligence, except one guy, says, that can't be true. That's never happened before. No Arab state has ever invaded another Arab state. No war in the Middle East has ever occurred in August when it's 130 degrees in the desert. This is not something on our radar. It's not something on our agenda. No, this is just saber rattling. And the expert says, saber rattling? They're actually trying to hide the fact that they're doing it. They're going to extraordinary measures to hide their military maneuvers. There's only one reason for that. They're going to do it. And
they'd already tried it with Iran.
They'd already tried it with Iran and killed a million people over the course of 8 years in the process. At that point in time, had the president, we now know, because finally Saddam Hussein was interrogated, and we know what he said. If the president of the United States had called him that last week in July and said, Saddam, you know, don't you dare think about invading and occupying another country, he wouldn't have done it. He was shocked that we cared. He was shocked that we were upset.
Yeah.
And as he said in the interrogation, if I thought you were going to move a 500,000 man army to the Middle East in response, I wouldn't have done it. So had we listened to that, Cassandra, none of this series of dominoes would have fallen.
I keep going back to this, that you know, Saudi Arabia gave us an Air Force base to stage out of, and Bin Laden in his 1998 interview, the piece that was in the New York Times, said that he was going to attack us because we had an Air Force base on sacred Saudi soil.
Well, 22 Air Force bases, to be exact.
Oh, really? I thought it was one major one.
Yeah.
And Bush finally shut those down in, I think, 2005.
Well, much, much later.
We got it. We're hitting it. We'll be right. Welcome back. Richard Clark in the studio with us. Brilliant, noted, well-respected national security expert, one of my heroes, one of my personal heroes. And he has a new book out. It's called Warnings, Finding Cassandras to Stop Catastrophe. Absolutely brilliant book. And we were talking about the fellow who was warning about Saddam Hussein. We could go through some other examples in here, and I'd love to do that. But the one question I haven't asked, and I don't want, you know, because we only have a few minutes left, I don't want this half hour to slide by without asking it, is how do, you know, what's your call for action? How do we find these Cassandras? How do we motivate, you know, in Europe, they've got the precautionary principle. I mean, at least that's a step in the direction of being worried about or dealing with high-impact, low-probability situations. We don't have anything like that in the United States. In fact, we ridicule it.
We don't. And we don't have any institution, either in the government or outside the government, that looks for these people. And if we only rely on experts in the field, experts in whatever field is involved, they always reject these guys. Why? Because the Cassandra is the expert who sees it before they do, before the other ones do. So what we call for in the book is a multidisciplinary, small team of experts to actually go out and scan the horizon for these people, bring them in, listen to them, look at their evidence, and call in other experts to look at their evidence. We're also calling for people who think they know of a Cassandra to tell us, and we'll try to get them some publicity.
So are you suggesting that, like, the government should create a cabinet-level office of threat assessment?
Not necessarily cabinet-level, but, you know, a small office of threat assessment that can look across all kinds of threats.
Interdisciplinary.
If you know of a Cassandra, an expert in the field predicting a disaster and being ignored, tell me. And go to findingcassandra.com and tell me, and we will try to give them publicity.
You have that website?
We do, findingcassandra.com.
Oh, really? Yeah. So you're actually putting into place your own suggestions.
Well, no one else will, right? So
I think that's brilliant.
We're starting out. We're going to put a panel of experts together, and if listeners think they have an expert in a field who is warning about a disaster and is being unheeded, let me know.
Well, let me give you one to start with, Professor Peter Wadhams. I interviewed him last week in San Diego, and he's very concerned about, I can give that to you later, but I want to keep a copy of it, but very concerned about, he's the world's leading expert on sea ice. Huh? And what he's saying is that the loss of albedo from the open ocean is being estimated as 15% of industrial emissions. He said it's actually 50%. And it's going to have massive impact. It's going to be triggering within the next decade, triggering these feedback loops.
And among other things, we'll stop the Gulf Stream yes. and the Atlantic Current.
There you go.
Which yeah. totally changes the environment.
Sorry.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 202-808-9925.
So get the book, Warnings, Finding Cassandras to Stop Catastrophes, Richard Clark, and check out warningsbook.net and
findingcassandras.com.
Thank you.